You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello once again. Alongside James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. Welcome to Starcastic Remarks. We are the official podcast of THPN. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. That promo code is THP. And the next time you go and use their services. Got lots of things to talk to you guys about this evening. Thank you all for those of you who are listening live. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. Let's check in with Chris and James. Boys, how y'all doing this evening?
I think we're the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. I think there's a lot more than one podcast in THPN.
That's why I said official. It's different. Oh. There's official and then there's official.
Okay, that makes sense.
Saving himself.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I wondered if you would actually catch up on that. I actually did that one on purpose for once. Normally, it's just because I mess up.
Right, you did it on purpose.
You just can't give it to me once, can you, Chris?
No, sir, I cannot.
Brad. Okay, anyways, Dallas Stars did some Dallas Starsy stuff, things. We're going to talk about this one guy named Mikko Rantanen a little bit further because there's some trade drama coming out of Carolina and all of that shebang. And somebody's lying, so that'll be interesting to see who we figure out is telling the truth or not there. Then we're also going to get into some Hintz-less line combos. Hintz is going to be out for at least probably one more game. I think they've ruled him as probable for the game on Sunday. Correct. And then we're going to take a look at some big matchups for the Dallas Stars coming up. We got two really big matchups coming up for the Stars big on weekend. Friday and Sunday. Yep. And first off, we've got the Colorado Avalanche, and then we've got the Jets. Or is it the Jets first?
The Jets first, and it's the Avalanche.
Sorry, it's the Jets. It's the Jets first, and then yes, there you go. Jets first, and then the Avalanche. We've got, with a win over the Jets, the Stars could, in some conceivable fashion, start to make a climb for first place in the division. The Jets are 2-3-1 in their last six games, or last seven games. Six games. Can't count. And, you know, we could see the Stars catapult themselves into first place. And honestly, if you're Dallas, you know, last year you didn't really care all that much about getting first in the division, at least as me personally, I did not care that much. I just wanted to see them play well going into the playoffs. But considering who you might have to face in the first round, if the playoffs started today, the Dallas Stars would be facing off against the Colorado Avalanche, the fourth best team in the NHL. So that's, or fourth best team in the conference, excuse me, in the Western Conference. That's not an ideal matchup for the Stars, and it's not an ideal matchup for the Colorado Avalanche either. But, how important is, before we jump into the rant and stuff, how important is this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, it's big. It's big for the standings. We're still 8 points back of Winnipeg, so it's a long shot. But there are two games with Winnipeg coming up to finish out the season. So if you win both of those, you only need to find 4 points to get into that tie. And I'm not exactly sure what the tiebreaker is there, but it is realistic to happen as long as you clutch up in these two final games with the Jets. But it's more so important just to play against these opponents. You're likely going to face at least one of these teams in the playoffs. It's important to see how you match up now that your lineup is finalized, even though it's kind of not, because we're going to be waiting for Miro and Sagan as well. But if you can beat these guys without those two, you're going to feel a lot better when they come back round one, game one.
Yeah, it's a little nuts. If you want to fight Winnipeg for first in the division, you have to win both of those correct, games. Realistically, you lose either one or lose in overtime in either one. Really, it's an outside shot, really. But it's not just Winnipeg. Like you said, we have Colorado coming up, which should be a good measuring stick. And we also play Minnesota twice as well in this final stretch. So if you do get win those Winnipeg games, then you get two matchups against another possible first round appearance. So there's going to be lots of teams here coming quickly that you might see in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is it as crucial for the Stars to get first place in the division this year rather than compared to, like, say, last year or maybe or even the year before?
No. They just want to win the cup. They have Mikko Rantanen right now. That was, like, the big trade. That's kind of an all-in trade. I don't think they care nearly as much about where they place in the division.
This year, winning the division grants you a lot more than it did last season, though. Last season, you won the division, and you got the Knights. So Vegas. That sucked. I mean, that was like the worst case scenario you could think of for winning the division. This year, if you win the division, you're playing either the Calgary Flames, the Canucks, or St. Louis. Maybe even Utah, who is still in the running for it. And all those teams are trying their hardest to lose that final wild card spot. So if you win the division, you're winning the conference, and you're likely getting the worst playoff team in the playoffs this season. So it's a great reward if you can chase them down.
It's and just near impossible to do.
I don't think it's as impossible as we think it is. A couple of weeks ago, I would have agreed with you, but the more I looked, and I guess we're already here, so let's just talk about it. I think it's critical for the Stars this year to win the division than it was last year, obviously because of the position that, you know, I'm not trying to look ahead, but technically, if our goal is the Cup, we have to look ahead anyways. And if you're the Stars, you obviously don't want to spend a tremendous amount of energy and possibly have more injuries and get banged up more against a better team in the first round. Because obviously that means that your prospects moving forward are not going to be as good as they could be. So I'm not saying that, like, I expect it to be easy in the first round or anything like that. But if realistically our goal is to win the Cup, the easier thing to do would be to progress up to it in levels of opponents, right? The further you go along, the opponent should get harder. The first round opponent should not be the hardest. And that's the thing that I'm afraid of the most, and that the Stars are going to, you know, falter out really early, not because they're a bad team, but because they had to expend so much energy in their first round matchup. I think that's fair to talk about, and I think that's a realistic thing that could be talked about.
Yeah, that is true, and I agree. That's why I made my point the way I did. The other thing, though, is that this team is going to be good enough to beat anybody, too. So it's not like we're getting there so we can have an easier path because we're not as good. So even if we do wind up getting second, the Stars are still going to be the favorite.
Yeah, where I really feel like it doesn't matter is because of last season. They went through the Golden Knights, then they had to get through Colorado, and then they had to get through Edmonton, and they almost did it anyway. And now they have Mikko Rantanen on top of everyone they had last year. I don't think it's going to matter regardless of who they go against. They're going to have to win. They're going to have to win four series regardless. And I don't think the strength of the team on the other side is going to matter as much as the individual play.
Sorry, I was muted there for a second. I know y'all aren't as big on it as the others, but I really think that this is something the Stars should try and track down. I mean, winning the Central Division would be huge for their prospects going into the playoffs. Brandon over here, thank you. Thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Do the Stars need to win the Central Division? Who cares, club? We want the Cup.
The club.
Wait
for that club.
Sorry, y'all can tell it's been a day. I'll tell y'all about my day later. But yes, that's true. But I mean, wouldn't you want the easier path to the Cup and let everyone else beat up on each other?
Yep. I think we beat that one to death. Yeah. I agree. It'd be easier going the other way, but we're the favorite no matter what.
And it kind of bears out this argument. Should we go back to this whole 1-8, 2-7 idea in the conference, or are you fine with the way that it's set up divisionally?
not only am I fine with the way that it's set up divisionally, I think it's better. I mean, it creates those rivalries that happen year after year. And I agree, it may not be the most fair thing in the world, but the rules are set up. Everyone knows how the rules work. It's not like anyone's getting surprised by this at the end. And it has created some awesome rivalries. I mean, you think about Stars and Blues. I mean, that was not a rivalry until we met three times in a row in the playoffs. I mean, and then it was definitely rivalries. So those are some of the best regular season games after those series. So it has especially stung the Stars in the past couple of years, but it makes for rivalries, and it really does create those awesome games when you're playing the same teams come playoff time.
But it's not exactly fair for those better teams is what I'm getting at. So
it's probably
why, so why try harder to win the division if it's not going to really get you anything other than home ice advantage?
Well, actually, I would argue against that one. Winning the division is still essentially equally as beneficial as it is in the standard 1-8. Because if you win the division and you win the conference, you're facing the 8th best team. It doesn't matter which division it's coming from. So the only reason it hurt the Stars last time is because we got unlucky and somehow Vegas found themselves in the 8th spot because they were hiding all their good players in LTIR like we are this year.
Yeah, the Stars still would have played Vegas in the first round.
Right. So you could change the rules. We would have played Vegas in the first round. Same thing would have happened.
Fair enough. So, okay, let's move into some of the Rantanen stuff. Obviously, the trade for Rantanen has made big news. We saw Pete DeBoer come out in a press conference today, and he said, it's not quite the Luka trade, but it's pretty close. Yeah. That's how he described the Rantanen trade. And I 100% agree. This is the way I've been explaining it to all of my non-hockey friends. Like, this is the Luka trade for the Dallas Stars. This is enormous, huge, and this is Jim Nill showing Nico Harrison how to be a GM. Now, on the flip side, over the last couple of days, since it's been kind of dead in terms of Stars news, because we do have a four-day break here, there have been some back and forth between Mikko Rantanen and the Carolina Hurricanes. First, James, you actually got the chance to listen to the podcast where Eric Tolsky went on and had an interview with a guy. And then there was obviously the big quote from Rod Brind'Amour, who came out, and I'm paraphrasing here when I say this. He basically said, Mikko said, there's only four teams I'm going to play for, and yours is not one of them. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true, but it sounds like there's some truth there. I think it's just depending on when he said it is.
Happened is today Mikko said that's false. He said that statement was false. So somebody's lying. Who's lying?
Well, the GM on the podcast, the Carolina Hurricanes GM, said that Brind'Amour tends to exaggerate things.
He tends to be hyperbolic, he said.
And
I like that word.
Basically, what that kind of tells me is that that's not what he said at all.
Right.
And Rantanen actually completely goes against it and goes further in the other direction and says, I actually tried the system in Carolina before deciding anything. No clue who's telling the full truth or not, but we know at the very least what the coach said was not true.
Yeah, if your own GM is saying that you're being hyperbolic, yeah, I think you're not telling the truth, or maybe you're misremembering to give you as much benefit of the doubt as we can. But that is a shocking thing to say, have it blow up all over social media, and then come to find out, oh, actually, it's not true at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
That's crazy.
It doesn't even make sense to be true because he said that. That's what Mikko said when he got traded there.
He said and first time.
Rantanen didn't know what was going on because he didn't even know he was going to get traded. So how did he know what team he wanted to go to and whatnot? So
and
whatever.
In fact, later in Miko's interview, he said he was doing the Hurricanes a favor by telling them which teams he'd be willing to sign an extension for. So that they can get the most value for him. He said that was his thought process. Like, sorry, I'm not going to resign with you. I don't feel like this is the right fit, but to do you a favor, I will tell you which teams I will re-sign for so you can get the most back for me in a trade. I mean, and here we have Rod Brind'Amour saying he's just an egomaniac and throwing him under the bus with that kind of quote. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. And that's, I mean, it's almost like you need to apologize for it with how viral that quote went too, when it comes out to be absolutely false.
And Rantanen signing for a little less might actually have to do with some of that too, because I mean, if the Hurricanes GM gets Rantanen and it's just a rental and he traded away Nikas and then he walks in free agency, he looks like a complete clown. I mean, he looks so dumb. He just lost his like number one young player for nothing.
I mean, y'all pretty much summed it up very, 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 very well there. The thing that surprised me the most is that Rod Brind'Amour was as open with this as he was. Because normally he's not. Normally he's kind of close guarded to the chest. And it just surprised me that he was willing to kind of take shots at Rantanen like that.
Well, I'll tell you why he's willing to take shots at Rantanen like that. Because another thing that Rantanen said... Well, he's not on the team, but Rantanen said that part of the reason why he didn't feel like Carolina would be a good fit is that he didn't like the style of hockey that they played. And who's implementing that style? That's going to be Rod Brind'Amour. So he's going to take that a little bit personally. And that's pretty unprofessional, in my opinion. You get this high-skill hockey player. He doesn't want to play in your dump-and-chase system, and you're just going to bash him when he leaves? I mean, that seems pretty childish to me.
Well, and then the other thing is you know, there's a little bit of thing that should go against Eric Tolsky as well. Like, if you know that this is a player that probably will not fit your system well, but you go and make that trade anyways, I don't understand that. And I understand Mikko Rantanen is Mikko Rantanen, and you know, Carolina is basically in the same kind of boat as the Stars are, where they get to the Eastern Conference Final, and then for whatever reason, they get swept or they lose there. And they've been a good team for a long time. So maybe his thought process was, well, this guy's got a lot of playoff points. He got 101 playoff points in 82 games or something like that. But it's really, really bad to go out and make a trade like this for the player without at least talking to him first.
Right. Well, that's also something that came out in the interview Tolsky did. It was with Jeff Merrick. It's The Sheet is the podcast, I think, is where the interview came from.
From Daily Faceoff, yeah.
But Tolsky said, we did talk to him, and he said, and his agent said that right now they're focused on signing an extension with Colorado. So they basically said no when they tried to talk to him before the trade went down. And he was like, you know what? We're going to trade for him anyway. I mean, that's what kind of blows my mind, is like they actually did try to talk to him, and he said he didn't want to talk.
It's a full gamble.
So it was 100% a full gamble.
And he said
and
that.
They're shocked that it didn't work out. Like, what? You literally rolled the dice and you got snake eyes. I mean, that sucks, but that happens.
Well, the other thing about it is the value that they got from all of this stuff through the Rantanen trade, whether it was from the actual Rantanen trade, the original one itself, or when they traded him off to Dallas, would you say they got equal value for what they traded away?
I mean, there's other assets, but essentially, in my mind, the way it shakes out is that they traded Marty Natchez for Logan Stankoven. So I would say no.
Well, Stankoven and two firsts.
Right, but they traded picks away as well to get Rantanen.
Lower picks, but
they
yes.
were lower, but still, it's. I'm calling the picks a wash because picks are picks. If you don't pick well, then they're worth nothing anyway. So the way I'm looking at it is Natchez for Stankoven, I think that's not a good trade.
It
you also forget Taylor Hall. Don't forget Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall was part of that deal.
He's great.
They did get Taylor.
He's killing it.
it might end up being a better trade later, but as of right now, current develop Nikas and current develop Stankoven, Natchez is better than Stankoven currently, which is tough when you're talking about you were trying to bolster your team for the playoffs.
And that's the other thing. Undoubtedly, from last week to this week, Carolina is a worse team. And they're a cup contender that got worse at the trade deadline. That's just shocking.
That's kind of where I was going at, and the fact that, yes, they are a worse team than they are now. Or than they were, excuse me. So, anyways, is there anything about this whole drama and anything else that specifically needs to talk about? Because there's a couple of other things that he talked about with the media today that I think it would be fun to discuss.
I thought Randonen handled it well. I mean, when a quote comes out like that, that makes you look totally unprofessional. I think you do have to kind of stand up for yourself a little bit. And I think he did it in the right way. He didn't call anybody out by name, but everybody knew what he was talking about. And he just flat out said it wasn't true. So I think he defended himself well in the media, and I think he had to do it.
It's crazy that it even got out like that too, because it's not like he hasn't said everything that went on during this whole thing. Like when the trade happened and he had the first media availability with the Stars, he talked about how he went through this process of not really knowing what he wanted to do next and trying to look at everything from all angles and whatnot. And it still comes out and like day one, he said, no.
There were a couple of other things that he talked about today with the media. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned specifically barbecue. He was asked about barbecue, and that's all he had talked about, is he had heard that Texas barbecue was really, really good.
I gotta be honest, I think he thinks barbecue is grilling. I think he's under the impression that it's the same thing. He'll get learned.
I'm wondering. So I'm not quite sure what to take of this. This is why hockey players don't like talking to the media sometimes, because things get blown out of proportion like this, and then they decide to say something that they probably shouldn't say, and then it leads to all of this nonsense stuff in between he said, she said stuff. So I do think that Rod Brendamore was just kind of a little bit butthurt about some of the comments that he made. But I think it's just, we just need to leave it on the table and just call it good.
Yeah. We've bashed Brendamore enough, and he deserved it.
I don't think he was expecting it to blow out of proportion like that either, though.
I don't think Brendamore knew what he was saying. I think he was just talking.
Which happens.
Which does happen, yeah. It does happen. Okay. All right. Specifically, with some of the other stuff we need to talk about, James, you wanted to discuss some of the hintsless line combos that we're going to see probably on Friday. What did you want to discuss specifically about those?
There's a pun in there somewhere. We need to find it. Hintsless? I don't know. We got to find that pun. It's in there.
All right. I wanted to talk about it because not having your number one center makes you kind of wonder where to put Mikko Rantanen. And taking out Roope Hintz actually leaves a lot of gaps in the lineup, and looking at who you think would match up with who the best. And also they were tinkering with it at practice today because Roope can't raise his blood pressure right now because they're scared the pressure in his eye is going to get too big and that'll mess stuff up. So that's the update with Hintz. He's got, they said like a week basically.
Yeah, he said he's possible to play on Sunday. So he's for sure out Friday. But they had some really interesting looking lines at practice today. And they actually had, I don't know what you would call the first line with the way it's shaken out, but this is what it is. It's Ben Johnson Rantanen as one line. And then it's Robertson Duchesne Granlund, then Marchment Bork Dodonov, then Beck Steele Blackwell. So it's slotting Bork from the fourth into the third line, putting him into his center role that he prefers to play. And then it makes Ben Johnson the top line pretty much, and just sticks Rantanen beside them, which I mean, I like it. I mean, I love how Johnston he's essentially a number one center. I mean, especially with the contract he signed, we have two number one centers is what it is. Ben plays great with Johnston, and Rantanen is Rantanen, so why not? I like it. I think it'll be interesting.
It's also things to look at because, I mean, what if something like this does happen? And for whatever reason, Hintz is not available in the playoffs or whatever. Or if your normal, you know, rotation of lines, which is what we saw the last couple of games, what if those aren't working for whatever reason? And like you, we've been discussing for weeks now, Chris, what if there's no goals coming our way in the playoffs? Well, now they're experimenting again, even with a top player with Rantanen, and they're looking at, okay, if this happens and it's not working, will this specific area of moving guys around and kind of shuffling the dominoes on the table, will this work if we have to go this way? And I think it's just experimentation by Pete DeBoer. He's doing his job. He's trying to find things that work when certain players are out or if something's not working. So I really like this.
Especially when you get a new player. What I kind of want to see as a top line instead of Wyatt being there with Rantanen would be Duchesne with Rantanen. Specifically because Duchesne kind of does stupid things with the puck. He creates his own space very quickly. And I feel like that's something that Rantanen could really take advantage of more than when we saw him with Wyatt late stages of last game. I definitely think Wyatt could be your number one center. I don't know if he's quite there yet, honestly, personally, because of I look at other number one centers in the league, and every time he matches up against them, he just gets absolutely dominated. And that's what kind of feels bad for me and why I kind of trust Duchesne more there, because he's been a number one center before. So I kind of defer to Duchesne.
Yeah, that one also would be interesting because Duchesne is a lot more creative with the puck than Johnson is. Johnson's pretty much always making the right play, which oftentimes isn't super creative, but Duchesne, like you said, will do like stupid, crazy things with the puck sometimes. So he'll do some interesting things that can give Rantanen some space, or it can have Rantanen create space for Duchesne the other way. So I definitely agree. That's something to experiment with. I don't like the defense from Duchesne on the top line. I get what you're saying with Johnson when he matches up there, but I think the same thing, maybe worse, would happen if Duchesne was actually matching up one for one with another team's top line.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of like the idea that it makes Rantanen more free. And if you're talking about that's going to be your star player and you're banking on goals, I feel like you put him with Duchesne.
It allows him to be more creative, and I think it would give a little bit more offensive potential for sure.
What's really interesting for me, guys, in all of this is the Marchment versus Ben discussion. So the thing that I don't understand, and maybe y'all can help me kind of talk through this, but is it literally just because Ben plays well with Johnston, or is there another reason why he's on that pseudo first line, second line, whatever you want to call it, with Rantanen? Because I think it surprises me a little bit, considering you've got, I mean, you could throw Bork on there, you could throw Dadonov on there, honestly, and I think it would work pretty good. I just don't know. So I mean, what's the other reasons for Ben being on the left side of that line?
I really think it is because he plays well with Johnston, and I mean, when with him and Johnston and Dadonov really get rolling, I mean, they can become the Stars' best line because of their connection together. So that's what I think it is. It could also be you want to have a little bit more meat up there to defend your new toy. So that could be part of it, especially after those two big hits Rantanen took the other day.
Yeah, that's true.
It's weird because Rantanen does need defending, even though he's 6'4 and 200 pounds, because he doesn't play as physical as a 6'4 player does normally.
I wouldn't say needs defending, because I mean, when Robertson got in that little scrum in the first period the other night, Rantanen jumped right in there easy and it was comfortable and fine doing it. But it's just that he is very clearly now the Stars' best player, so he's going to get run. That's what it is. That's why Miro gets run all the time. I mean, when you go to the playoffs, Miro's getting hit every time he touches the puck. Same thing's going to happen with Rantanen.
The other aspect of this is Mason Marchment. And Mason Marchment has not been the same since he's come back from injury. He has not been bad, and especially defensively. I think if he was a liability defensively, we would see that by now. Yeah. Or at least it's not really costing the Stars. So someone is helping cover up his deficiencies, or he's playing well defensively. But like that offense that he had with Duchesne is not really there right now. So maybe that's another reason why they're trying to look at the fact of, you know, this is not really working right now. Let's split them up. Let's see how it goes. Robertson normally does better with a guy who's got some speed and can make plays with the puck. And, you know, maybe Marchment just needs a de-escalated role right now just to try to get him going a little bit. And maybe putting him with a young guy like Bork in the center, maybe that can jumpstart him a little bit.
Yeah, that's what it is, I think for sure. Marchman's just not playing really well right now. I wonder how much of it is because of the cage he's got on, honestly.
He's not playing bad. He's not
producing.
Doing it. He's not producing. That's a good word. He's not producing offensively. He's not doing where we would expect him to normally.
And I think some of that is that he hasn't played with Duchesne as much this whole time. I mean, it since Granlund came in, they've kind of put Granlund and Duchesne together more, and then it pushes Mason down the lineup a bit, and he has clearly struggled without the same type of space that Duchesne opens up for him.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
I just thought that the top three lines like that were very interesting, and
it's weird.
It's weird, but it's
lines that we haven't seen before is really what it comes down to, because none of these lines have been put together for the past 2 years because half the players were not on the team.
Yeah, and now we got what, 18 games left until playoffs, and we're seeing new lines. That's scary.
Well, I know you say it's scary, but at the same time, it's just like, it seems like most of the time, whenever they put guys together, they seem to do okay. Right. I mean, they've proven it this year that they find ways to win.
Well, and when Rope comes back, it's going to revert right back to the way it was, unless there's some kind of craziness that goes on with that Ben Johnston Rantanen line.
Which we might see. It'll be really interesting to see. This is a little bit off topic, because we're mostly talking about the forward lines, but there is one player that I do want to kind of give flowers to. And I talked about it with Joey on Locked On Stars yesterday. I really want to talk about Matt Dumba for a second. What is he doing differently than the beginning of the season? Because is he like finally skating and he actually just looks comfortable now and that's literally just it? Or is there something extra to his game that he's adding that has made him a more effective player down the last, like down the stretch, the last two or three weeks?
I'm gonna stand by my theory that he got the bubble off.
I wondered if y'all were gonna go there or not. I kind of set you up.
I really think that can't be the only thing though. I think it's helped him out a lot with being able to see the puck better, honestly. Because before you would see like on the wall, he would do that stupid thing that everyone else does, but they do it better than him, or more consistently, I should say, where the puck's coming around and you try to get it off the wall with your backhand, and he would whiff that constantly. And since he's gotten the bubble off, I've seen him whiff it like once, maybe twice, which is really promising, because I think we got scored on four or five times just this season from him missing that.
Yeah, and I think he's just been more aggressive on pucks. I mean, he's really getting after stuff and making sure he wins puck battles. I mean, that was the other thing. I mean, you see him get swimming in his own zone sometimes, and it's like, you wish you would just go after the puck and go after the puck carrier. And he started doing that. He started going after the puck, and if he can't get the puck, he's at least sealing that guy out of the play. So he's not trying to do everything at once. And maybe he's like finally buying into the system that the Stars defense plays, that James was mentioning earlier in the season, that it just seemed like he was just not doing at all. So, and whatever it is, he's definitely ramping up as we come towards playoffs, and is going to be making a case that he should be in the lineup over Bischel.
Yeah, and he is getting lost less often. He's still, I mean, we've seen it a couple of times throughout this short run without Miro, and then we saw it a bit with when Bischel went out for the couple of games where he would get lost a little. But like you said, most of the time now he is finding a player and
finding something to do.
Yeah, taking someone out instead of basically swimming is what it looks like.
I just thought he deserves a little bit of flowers here, because he's been doing really, really well lately. And I know that should not be the expectation of him being a third pairing defenseman, but you're starting to see a little bit more on social media, a little bit more acceptance of him, you know, being on that third pairing role and that being okay.
And another part of it is that if he can slightly mitigate his defensive deficiencies, then you do get to see the physical side where he'll jump in for whoever is in a scrum. Like the other night in that same scrum with Robertson and Rantanen, Dumba pushed Rantanen out of the way and pushed everyone else out of the way. So right in the middle, and took so I think everyone on the other team was face washing him. I mean, he took all of it, and Robertson was completely out of it at that point. And that is something that is actually it's going to be a really big deal come playoff time. If he is on the ice and he just takes the best players out of it, and he's the one standing in the middle of all of it, I feel like that's going to be a bigger deal than it would be in the regular season.
And here's the thing. Come playoff times, would you rather have Leon Bischel or Matt Dumba to play that role?
Yep.
Why not both?
No, just kidding. No, who are you going to take out? CD playing 20 minutes a night?
I'm totally just kidding. Obviously, I don't want to see both of them on a regular basis on that third pairing, because we've already seen games where they've been, you know, very much attacked by the other team, and, you know, kind of exposing that weakness in the Stars game with those two guys together. But I mean, the Stars don't really have a choice right now, because Bischel is a better option than Brendan Smith and Dumba. So that's just where we're at.
But right now, if Dumba's playing this way and he's your number seven, I mean, now you're feeling pretty comfortable, I think, with a Dumba playing the way he has the past four games as your number seven defenseman. You're going to use more than six defensemen in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen. You're feeling better, I think. I would rather have Bischel just for the meat. I mean, you saw last season during the playoffs, they just took every chance they could to pelt our defensemen into the boards every single time. And if they do that to Bischel, it's going to hurt them more than it hurts Bisch. So I think just having more meat there is going to be better. And Bischel has a higher consistency of laying big hits. So like there can just be a guy coming up the wing and it can just look like a normal play, like Bischel's sealing off the gap, and then all of a sudden, boom, the dude's gone, because that's how much bigger and stronger Bischel is. Dumba can make big hits, but generally they're few and far between because they're the big open ice variety. Bischel does it just as a normal play.
Yeah. I mean, a big thing with it is, who do I want to get hit more anyway? And Matt Dumba getting hit, I'm kind of more okay with, you know? No offense,
tell him
Matt
that,
Dumba.
Because I have
no,
to see
I'm
him
sure,
on a regular
I'm,
basis.
I'm sure he would love that, too. I mean, he is definitely...
That's his game.
Yeah, that is his game. He's literally just more physical. And also... If he is the seventh defenseman and you're just swapping him in and out, instead of seventh, you're sixth and a half.
Right.
And you're rotating, that's and for sure you're taking some wear down every single game. That's going to be massive.
It honestly makes you more comfortable putting Bischel in those situations, because you know, if, hey, he screwed up big time in this playoff game, we can't trust him, you can go to Matt Dumba. And if he's playing like this, you feel a lot better trusting him.
There's some truth to that. And He's starting to get a little bit more accolades with the Stars coaching staff than he has in the early season.
Yeah, his time is definitely increasing.
Yes, and that's my first go to whenever I get this feeling of that a player is playing really, 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 really well and really consistently over a long period of time. I look at their time on ice, and that tells me if the coaching staff agrees with my assessment of said player, and that's an obvious thing that you can look at. One other guy I did want to talk about as well is the backup for the Dallas Stars is Casey DeSmith. He's not getting enough recognition for what he's doing right now. He's won six in a row, and it's obviously he's gotten some goal support, but the thing with Casey DeSmith is that he's won six in a row, and in every single one of the games he's won, he's looked very, very good and very, very solid. And he doesn't always get the best of matchups. You know, he's normally like the second night of a back-to-back when his team is tired in front of him. So they're, you know, kind of leaning upon him more to kind of get them the win there. I mean, not a better example of that when he did that against Utah, when they were in Utah. That was a ridiculous game where he almost got the shutout. Or no, he did get the shutout. Sorry, he did get the shutout. So... what do you? Oh, he didn't.
No, he didn't. He got the okay, he got a right. Shutout the next game he played, but he didn't get a
dang
shutout
it.
In Utah.
Dang it! I'm getting those two games mixed up in my head. Doesn't matter. What have you seen from DeSmith the last several starts that he's had?
I mean, he's been exceptional the past few starts, and this is kind of what he's shown to do. I mean, the last few seasons in Vancouver, he can get crazy hot, and you can be like, "Hey, here's our starting goalie. We don't need to wait for Demko. It can just be DeSmith." And then he kind of falls off, and you're like, "Oh no, I guess we got to go to Shelovs." So he's kind of the guy that can get hot and cold like that. Right now, he's super hot, awesome. We need the extra wins if you want to catch the Jets. The big point is that it doesn't matter come playoffs times. I mean, once the playoffs start, Casey DeSmith is not going to be playing. And if he is, then we're probably cooked anyway.
Yeah. What's kind of the most impressive thing about his season right now is he's only given up more than three goals three times. One of those times is back-to-back, and the last time he did that was that Colorado game, which since he has been undefeated. So he seems to be rebounding really well on this team also. That tends to be a Stars thing anyway, but his games are like multiple games apart. So this is specifically a Casey DeSmith thing too, I feel like.
All right, anything else on anything like Stars lineup wise that we haven't mentioned?
No, I think that's,
nope. Okay,
I think that's good.
Okay, there's two things I do want to get to that I do want to mention. The first one is Stars related. The second one, not so much, but I still think it's extremely notable considering who it is. First off, Victory Plus came out with an announcement earlier. I think it was yesterday. And they had 165,000 viewers tune in to watch Mika Rantanen's debut for the Dallas Stars. And it was a new viewership milestone on Victory Plus for a single live event. So, and the average watch time was 95 to 105 minutes, they said. And then this is the really interesting one, guys.
Really solid.
40% of the viewers were from age 18 to 25. That's actually very, very interesting, because that means there's younger guys and younger gals that are kind of turning into the Stars broadcast. I thought that was a really interesting set, and I'm glad that that Victory Plus is getting some more views there.
And it makes sense with the type of product that Victory Plus is. It's a streaming service that is free to use. That's literally up every single every single young person's alley. Yes, free. Yes, please. Thank you.
Right. And with the current sports situation around the city of Dallas, especially with the Mavs, I mean, with Luka getting traded and then Kyrie getting injured for the season and the whole season going from going all right to literally being a wash in about a month. I mean, to have something to turn to and have the Stars trade and actually acquire a top 10 player in the NHL and be at the top of the league standings, I mean, that's kind of bandwagon you want to hop on. And this is where Victory Plus this season is so huge, is that the Stars can capitalize on that kind of momentum. And you can get Mika Rantanen, you can bring him in, you can have all this hype, and you can say, click this link and you can watch the game for free right now. And that's exactly what's happened. So without Victory Plus, this Mika Rantanen hype and the early bandwagoning on the Stars by the city of Dallas, which usually doesn't happen until round two, is not possible without Victory Plus.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been on the news too. I think Josh, our color commentator, or no, our play-by-play, was on the news and talked about the Stars and the Rantanen trade and how they're going all in, and then mentioned Victory Plus at the end and said it's free to watch.
And Razor made a tweet today. He took a picture of the Stars media room, and there was a ton of cameras in there and a ton of reporters that look like they probably don't know anything about hockey. And it's just everyone's jumping on the bandwagon because of how great of news this is in a time where there's not a lot of great sports news in Dallas.
Yeah, the only other team within the DFW Metroplex that is probably worth paying attention to right now is the Rangers.
Yeah.
And the Rangers look primed and ready to make it back to the playoffs. Yeah. Last year was kind of a little bit weird. But
and they started today too.
They did. That is true. The thing about all of this though is that does this allow the Stars to be a little bit more noticeable and a little bit more important when it comes to the DFW landscape? Does that make hockey, I mean, hockey is a big thing for us, but let's be honest, for a majority of fans in the DFW Metroplex, hockey is maybe their third or fourth sport in DFW sports. Does that maybe climb up the ladder a little bit for them?
It absolutely does. And normally it happens when the playoffs start, when the games hit nationally televised and everyone can actually watch them. And what we're seeing right now with people coming in earlier is not possible if we're still on Bally Sports, if it's still on $20 pay to watch. So this is really interesting to see. And this is where the Stars' gamble of going with the free to watch model is looks like it could be paying off. We'll see how much of those numbers they can keep.
I just thought it was really interesting to bring this up, and I'm good for Victory Plus to do some, self-promoting there. That's huge for them. 165,000 is not little by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to like regional broadcasts like that. So good for them.
Yeah, they said that eclipsed the five lowest watched nationally televised games. So they're beating games where everybody in the nation can watch. So that's
crazy. That is absolutely crazy. Okay, let's take a look at one other thing that I want to mention, and it's because it just kind of came out of nowhere, and I was really surprised. But
before you get there, thanks, Ryan, for the $9 super chat. I don't know if $3 can buy a full-size candy bar anymore, though.
It can. No, it still can.
Okay. I think we'll maybe not king size though.
Okay, what candy bar are you getting if you had $3 to do it? Real quick.
Twix.
Three Musketeers.
Oh, what a terrible Three
Musketeers?
Pick. I like so bad. Ryan, just say something.
Wow. I'm sorry, I'm on a kick.
That's fair.
Okay. Reese's.
That is not a candy bar. All right. What were you gonna say?
They have all sorts Move of on. Reese's Move candy on. Bars. Jeez, we're not even in the Who Cares segment yet, Chris.
That's why he's moving on.
That's why okay. I'm moving on. All right. I can get on you right now, dude.
All right. Last thing to talk about, and then if there's anything else y'all want to mention NHL-wise, we can. Aaron Ekblad of the Florida Panthers gets a 20-game suspension handed down from the NHL due to performance-enhancing drugs. This is not probably what you're thinking. Right off the bat, if you're just listening to this and you haven't been paying attention to the news, basically what this was, it was not a mistake in terms of like he knew exactly what he was doing and he was trying to get like an edge. It was nothing like that. It was he is dealing with an injury. He did not check with the medical staff of the Florida Panthers to make sure that it was okay to take. And he took this medication from a doctor that prescribed it to him for said injury, and it happened to be something that is considered performance-enhancing drugs, according to the NHL, an NHLPA collective bargaining agreement. That's all it is. Nonetheless, that is a huge blow to the Florida Panthers, to be completely honest with you, coming down the stretch. He is their Miro Heiskanen. He is their number one guy on the blue line there. And based off of the 20 games, I believe he's going to miss one game of the playoffs. So, okay, two playoffs, one or two games, depending on, I don't remember how many games they have left, but it is notable because there is a difference between just being in practice and then getting game time going down the stretch, going into the playoffs. That's going to be a huge, huge adjustment for Aaron Ekblad come playoff time, just like it will be for Miro and just like it will be for Tyler Seguin. It's just the worst possible time in terms of getting ramping up for the playoffs. There's a little bit of, I don't want to say niceness, but it kind of works out just because he's not missing all of the playoff games, if that makes any sense. It would be terrible if it was at the end of the season. So let me get y'all's thoughts on that real quick.
Right, and Florida's already solidly in a playoff spot, so it's not like it's going to make them miss or anything. It's somewhat easy to accidentally take something that's against the rules in the NHL. I mean, there's allergy medication that has steroids in it that would make you fail the test and would cause you to have an automatic 20-game suspension. So it's pretty tight. But that being said, I mean, you're a professional athlete. That's one of the few things you need to be paying attention to as well. So it kind of sucks, but Florida's at the top of the division. It's not going to really be a big deal. Missing those first two games in the playoffs, that could be a big deal, but he's going to get in at some point. That's not going to be the reason they lose a series.
Yeah, I honestly, I think the biggest blow is that Ekblad doesn't get paid for those 20 games, honestly.
That's true. I mean, that's a quarter of your salary.
Unpaid suspension.
How much does he get paid a year?
I think he's like at $8 million a year, $7 to $8 million.
Would it be $9 million? Like his AAV? So does he lose $2 million?
I don't know.
That's crazy. True.
So a couple of comments. There's a lot of comments about this particular. Sean Shapiro said it best. As a professional athlete, you have to know what goes into your body. That is true. And he should have double checked that with the Panthers before he did. End up taking them. Did the Panthers know he was being investigated and then they signed Seth Jones? No, I think they just added Seth Jones to the blue line because Seth Jones is a good addition to their blue line. I'll come back to that question here in a second. Let's see, two more. Nate found out listening to Morning Cup of Hockey. That's another daily face-off thing. NHL doesn't test for recreational drugs. Party on, NHL. Yes.
Well, then how did Nichushkin get caught?
I'm not maybe sure.
Maybe he was taking worse than recreational. That. Maybe he had some hard stuff.
Loch Ness Monster. Are performance enhancing drugs really not widespread in the NHL? I figured it goes on under the table like it does with most sports. I don't think so, to be totally honest with you. I think they because of how this is a harsh punishment. And it's not like he did this on purpose. I mean, I fully believe him in believing him and just this was just an accident. Like he didn't do this to try and gain an edge on anybody else. It was just he was taking medication for an injury and he should have double checked it. And now he's paying the price for it, literally. So I'm just surprised that the penalty is as harsh as it is. That's just
I think it's automatic based off the rules. Yeah. So it's not like this was decided.
Right. But what I'm saying is just based off of the collective bargaining agreement, I'm surprised it's 20 games.
Well, I think the players want it to be high. I think they don't want any of that in their sport. I think that's part of it.
There is some truth to that.
And I can't really think of a big scandal where there was like any top players taking steroids or anything for hockey. Maybe they're just bad at testing for them when it was really big in the 90s and stuff, but I don't know. I can't think of one.
I mean, I guess the only one I can think of is just this, just Ekblad, well, and then I guess Val Nichushkin.
Well, there's been small situations like this before, but they're all basically, oh, I didn't know that was in what I was taking. It's not specifically intentionally doping the way Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds were. But like, yeah, that is I mean, true. With Part hockey, McGuire. Recovery is such a big deal. You'd think that someone would try and do it at some point, but I don't know.
Fair enough. I just wanted to mention that because I just thought that was just terrible timing for Aaron Ekblad specifically. Not so much for Florida, but for Aaron Ekblad especially.
I mean, if he's gone through an injury, it kind of works out.
I guess that's true too. But I mean, if you can play, then you play. I mean, that's just a hockey thing.
And you don't want to lose almost $2 million.
Yeah, that too. That's probably the number one thing is that you don't want to lose that much money.
Hopefully he didn't buy a boat.
I'm ignoring that. Other NHL stuff that you guys want to discuss before we get who cares?
No.
No? Okay. All right. We got the Who Cares segment here tonight, and I cannot believe I don't remember who suggested this. Help me out, guys. Who suggested it on Discord?
Give me a second. I'm scrolling to She's right gonna kill now. Me. I'm going to get there. It's Brooke.
Brooke, I'm so sorry, Brooke. I am so sorry.
Long yeah, Ryan, you're a horrible person.
I know. I'm a terrible person. But anyways, she suggested our favorite hats. So we're doing our top three favorite hats for the Who Cares segment this evening. Thank you, Brooke, for the suggestion. Boys, what have you got for your top three hats? Number three.
My third is bucket hat. Because they look doofusy and my dog's name is Buckets. Now, you seen a bucket hat, right, James? Just like that? It's like an all-around hat with that brim that goes all the way around. Okay, yeah. All right, y'all know what bucket hats are. Anyway, all right. James.
I know what bucket hats are. Joey Buckets.
My number third is going to be a fez because there was one episode of Phineas and Ferb where Perry the Platypus wears a fez and it changes the theme song a little bit. And that is a great episode.
And it is racist? Question
Probably.
Mark?
Maybe. I don't know.
Gotta be a
little.
That episode's hilarious.
I don't think so. For me, the number three is because I thought it was the coolest thing in the world when I was in late high school, early college, but it's the dumbest thing in the world, a fedora. A fedora is my number three. I thought I was so cool wearing those things. And yeah, I enjoyed wearing it for at least a little while. But I know. Let me have it. I'll take it. Chris, number two.
I'm going to be Canadian. It's a toque.
Okay. It's a hockey podcast.
This is a hockey podcast. We're a hockey show. We're hockey guys doing hockey things, saying hockey words. It's a toque.
All right. My number two is going to be a cowboy hat. because we're in Texas. For how much stereotypes that we're all old West down here, there actually is a surprising amount of cowboy hats. They look pretty nice. So yeah, number two, cowboy hat.
Some of them are too pretentious, though. Like, they're literally just for show. And it's not to be like real.
They're all for show now. Like
that. I want a Chris Stapleton cowboy hat. That hat looks awesome.
Those are actually really cool. I do like Chris Stapleton's hats in particular. Although I used to like Kenny Chesney's hats too, and then he did something weird with like the brim of it, like on towards the back. I don't know. Anyways, my number two is I'll say it the right way for you, Chris. It is a toque. My number two is a toque. It is the thing that keeps my head warm, and especially as I start to go through the whole baldness phase that I'm getting closer and closer and closer to as I age, it will be my favorite. I'm sure fairly soon when I eventually become bald. So, Chris, number one.
The number one is the dad hat, the dad baseball cap. It's the baseball cap, but it's got no structure. So it's all flimsy and floppy and stuff, and you think, why would that be your number one hat? That sounds like a hat that just sucks more. Well, you're wrong, because the normal baseball hats, the little structure bit, when you shove that into a bag or you toss it somewhere, it gets all messed up and it gets all folded and all screwy, and nobody likes that. But the dad hat, you can roll that bad boy up, stuff it in your pocket, 2 hours later, throw it on top of your head, looks the exact same. Amazing. Love the dad hat.
All right, my number one, I am currently wearing it. It's a trucker hat. I don't know why I like these things. Terrible. They're netted in the back.
Hate it.
Which is great for Texas because I get stupid hot with just normal baseball cap on. But I love these things. A majority of the hats that I have now are trucker hats. And this one is my favorite one. It is from the Alamo.
I have trucker hats because I work in construction. So everyone in construction loves trucker hats. Can't stand it. I'm not into
Man,
it.
We must have been flipped on that, because
for real, we got a trade.
So do you actually like wear one when you're on the job, Chris?
No, I've got the rare dad hat from construction. I've got two company dad hats. Well, one's actually a golf hat, but it's the dad golf hat. So it's structureless, but it's the athletic material. Those are the best. We want to get into real specifics. But yeah, I have the truckers because they're just handed out. So, you know, you're going to take them. I'm not going to take a free hat. No, I'm not crazy. But the ones I wear are the dad hats.
If you don't wear it, I will.
Yeah, I'm not giving it to you.
Random side tangent before I get into my number one. Why is it that golf always has like the nicest stuff and the most comfortable stuff? Is it just me in thinking that? Because like I absolutely love golf polos and how they feel and then also how they look.
Tennis stuff is nice. Tennis shorts, those are sweet. They're buttery.
Right, but the thing that I'm talking about specifically is like I have to look somewhat professional at my job as a teacher, so. When I'm able to wear like golf related polos and slacks and stuff like that, I look nice, and it's also extremely comfortable. So
all I wear to work is jeans and golf shirts. That's it. Every day of my life.
I wish I could do that. Not to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but my number one is also a dad hat. I've got a million of them. Obviously, I'm wearing one right now. I don't know why it's a thing for me. I like to wear the dad hats backwards. It's just a thing. I don't know why I do it. It's just
because you're gangster.
It's just something born in that time.
Yes, I guess. Is that a millennial thing to wear dad hats backwards?
I think it is.
Is it, you know, really?
Boomer.
I don't wear my hats backwards.
You're a boomer.
Well, but I mean, like. People before my time were doing it too.
It had to be early 2000s. That was a hockey thing, and it's still kind of a hockey thing. I think Ben still does it. I think he rocks the backwards hat.
Maybe that's where I got it from. I don't know.
It was a hockey thing, at least early 2000s. I'm pretty sure.
It's gotten worse as I've gotten older too. It's like I did it a little bit after college. And then it went straight back forward for like 2 or 3 or 4 years. And then it's basically since COVID I don't wear a hat the intended way which it was originally intended for.
That's it. So it defends you from COVID. Because everyone knows you get COVID through the top of the back of your neck.
We're not getting in.
So when you got the dad hat on backwards, the bill blocks the COVID from getting in.
Oh, I just opened a whole can of worms.
Somebody call the CDC. We need to get this into their hands.
We're not opening that can of worms on the internet.
We need backwards hats.
Chris, shut up.
And here's another thing about the vaccine.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for following along with us live here as Chris tries to get us canceled. There's more of you that are even listening afterwards. We appreciate y'all. If you like anything you heard today, leave us a 5-star review on the audio side. If you're listening on YouTube, I'm trying to go as fast as I can. Click like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of Sarcastic Remarks. Join the Who Cares Club if you'd like to help us in our venture of continuing this fan-led podcast. SarcasticRemarks.com, SarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. And as always, we appreciate our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Pick 6 option is there. Go and join the Discord too. Yes, Ryan, thank you. Throwing in a little Discord love out there too. We normally talk during the every single game. And sometimes when the games are bad, James normally likes to post pictures of cats or videos of cats if it's really bad. Although you haven't had to do that a lot lately.
People tried to start that during the Edmonton game, and then the Stars came back, so they disappeared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was 5-1 and Stars made it 5-4. I was just like, my goodness. All right. Anyways, guys, thank you guys so much. We'll catch you guys on the flip side, along with James, along with Chris. My name's Ryan, and we'll be back with you guys on Friday when the Stars are going to take on the Winnipeg Jets. Probably the biggest game, very, very large game coming up here. And yeah, thank you guys so much, and yeah, bye.